We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning, and our guest is Pastor Joe Thompson. How are you?
I am doing well.
It's good to see you this morning.
It's good to be here.
It was a surprise. I should have known. I'm surprised it's February already.
Right. Well, I'm lucky that I remember what day of the week it is, let alone what day of the month it is.
I've been struggling with that lately, too. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can email us at hourpower32@gmail.com, or you can comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get that uploaded shortly after the program has ended. Our Facebook sponsor for today is The Refuge Church, now located at New Liberty in Sarah, Oklahoma, Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Please like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us, even if it's the replay. And today is Thursday, so after the broadcast, we will reset the iPad and come back with a word from Pastor Dwight on the Truth broadcast. Today's title is Thy Will Be Done. I think I covered it all.
All right, very good.
Would you like to pray to start us out?
Father, I just want to say thank you for this day that you have given us, another day to live for you, another day to worship you. Another day to celebrate your goodness and to make a difference in the lives of those people we come in contact with. I just pray that as we discuss this morning that your word will go forth, it will touch lives, it will do the work that you intend for it to do, and may you receive the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title this morning. I'm excited to get into it. Refresh your spirit.
Yes, refresh your spirit. Well, there were several churches here in town, the Ministerial Alliance, that did a three-week series, New Year, New You, in the month of January. And this is actually the last sermon that I did this past Sunday on this series. And so we're just going to kind of go through that and discuss that this morning and talk about how we were able to accomplish that and why we need to accomplish that. You know, when I was in college at Gulf Coast Bible College, which is now Mid-America Christian University in Oklahoma City, but it was in Houston then, we were required to go to chapel. As a matter of fact, they're still required to go to chapel if they're on campus students. But we were required to go to chapel, and so three times a week we would go to chapel, and we'd oftentimes have guest ministers in that would preach in chapel. And if I heard it once, I heard it at least a dozen times in the 5 years I was there. I managed to squeeze a four-year degree into five, by the way. and I heard it probably at least a dozen times, more than, if not more than that, from these pastors, and they'd say, I would rather burn out than rust out. And I've thought about that a lot over the years, and the more I've thought about that, I've become convinced that, you know what, neither one of those is really a good option.
I didn't think so either.
Burnout is the result of going too fast and furious, and so you have no mental, emotional, spiritual, physical energy left. I mean, you're just going all the time, and you're not really taking care of yourself. Rusting out happens when you spend all your time dancing in the rain and trying to get the most of everything now, and you really don't accomplish a whole lot in life. And you look back on your life and go, did I really do anything? And so neither one of those is, in my opinion, anyhow, really a good option in life. And so for this reason, I think it's important for us to renew our mind, body, and spirit, which is what we were talking about, but especially our spirit. We need to renew our spirit on a regular basis. Now, there's great value in taking care of your body and mind. Your body is the vehicle that God gives you to accomplish His will in. I mean, we don't have any other vehicle to do it, obviously. So we need to take care of our body. Mm-hmm. We need to be able to go places where we can meet people, minister, and do the things that God calls us to. And our mind is what directs our body on what to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm waving my hand, and my brain unconsciously would just tell me to wave my hand, you know. And so both of those are important for us to take care of. Mm-hmm. And we do need to spend time taking care of them. But we need to understand that spiritual care is taking care of the very essence of who you are. You see, we were created to be spiritual beings with a body. Mm-hmm. And we fail to realize that. If you go back into the very beginning, back into Genesis, when God breathed into Adam, when He breathed into humankind, He was breathing His essence into the body He created. He breathed the breath of life, we are told, in Genesis 3, into man's nose, and man became a living person. Now, if you go back in the creation account and you look, all the other animals that God created, there's no mention of Him breathing life into them. It says He created them and they lived. Now, we all know that obviously they breathe oxygen just like you and I do, but there's no mention of Him breathing life into them. It's only mentioned when He creates Adam, and then, of course, Eve created from the rib of Adam. And it's only mentioned that God breathed into him and says He made them into His image and then breathed not only the oxygen, but His spiritual presence into them. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, we know that much of that essence was lost in the fall. And yet, we find that humankind is still searching for that essence. Mm-hmm. Some search for it, you know, and say, well, there's not a God, so they search for the meaning of life through what they do and what they are able to accomplish. But if you look around the world, spirituality is very important to most people in the world. If spirituality wasn't so important, why in the world are there so many religions in the world? I looked it up and I forget how many, but I think there's like 4,300 or something like that major religions in the world. Wow. All of this is an attempt for people to get back to the one who created them. Mm-hmm. They may not realize that, but that's really what it is. And so a major cause for burnout in people's lives is the failure to take care of one spiritual side of life. And when you spend all your time and energy trying to find the meaning of life through things other than God, you're really wasting more of your energy trying to accomplish that. So spiritual refreshment refreshes the soul to accomplish what God put us on earth here for. And so that's the reason why it's so important for us, because the body and the mind are directing us to the one who created us. So we might ask ourselves, what are some ways that we are able to refresh our spirit? Well, obviously, if we're created by God, then we need to spend time with God. Colossians 3:2 tells us to set our minds on things above and not on earthly things. And alone time with God allows you to get to know Him. You know, if you're married or if you're in the relationship with someone, how did you get to know that person? Did you get to know them really well at a football game or at a movie or some other event? You got to know them a little bit. Got to see how they act in public, maybe. But to really get to know a person, you have to spend some time with them. A good example would be my wife, Patty, and myself. I first met her at youth camp, and she was dating another guy at the time, and a friend of mine. As a matter of fact, they even got engaged but broke up. But anyway, I met her at a youth camp, and we became friends there, and we were friends for 4 years before we even started dating. We hung out with the same friends. We had a lot of the same friends. We did a lot of things together as a group. We went to the same college together, and she worked in the snack bar there called Pop's Place. And I worked security. Part of my job as security was to go and help close down Pop's Place, obviously to be there because of the dollars, mm-hmm. making sure everything, you know, somebody didn't come in when there was nobody else there and so forth. And so that was part of my job. And so a lot of times Patty would be the one who would close down Pop's Place. So I would spend time there, and we'd talk about things. One summer we were in ministry together and helping to plant a church in Farmington. And so we spent some time there with a group of others from the college. And through all these times, we began to, you know, to talk about other things. And the more time we spent together, the more interested in her I became, mm-hmm. because we were spending time together. Excuse me. And this led to a note in her mailbox, which I had access to the mailroom because I work security. And that's another different story. Let's just say from there we started dating. Well, ultimately the end result is that we wound up here in Elk City, where we've been blessed to call this home for the past 30 plus years, you know. But it's because we spent time together. Mm-hmm. God brought us together. Well, the concept is still the same with God. You begin to know God when you begin to hang out with Him. You spend time in His presence, perhaps often with others, just like Patty and I did, you know, mm-hmm. at the beginning. You spend time with Him in church, you know, maybe in a small group. Maybe you go to some concerts together, you know, some Christian concerts together. Maybe there's church-related events you're going to. And so maybe that's what piques your curiosity. Maybe you want to know Him better, so you begin to learn more about Him, and maybe you begin to listen to more Christian music than some of that other stuff that's out there. Not all of it's junk, but a lot of it is in the world.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Maybe you begin to read books about Him. Maybe you begin to study your Bible and read your Bible. You're spending time with Him more on a one-on-one. And then at some point, maybe you're coming into a relationship with Him. You accept Him as your Lord and Savior, and you allow Him to guide your life. That's kind of the process. And a lot of those things overlap and interact. I understand that. But basically, if you're a Christ follower, it's because in some way, shape, or form, you spent time with God. You've been contemplating it. And everybody's story is different. There's no two stories that are alike. And so we can't use one person's story and say, this is the way it is, because God works in many ways. But that's kind of the process of coming to God. But busyness draws us away from God. You begin to live life, and life gets in the way. And you spend less time with God. Maybe you get married, you have children, and your children are involved in this event and this event and that event. And I know when we first moved here, our kids were involved in a lot of stuff. We were going all the time. Mm-hmm. And the danger of that is you don't read your Bible as much. You begin to say, man, I'm tired. I just can't do that. Maybe you miss getting together with fellow believers because either you're tired or you're trying to go to an event. And so you're not making church, or you're making small groups or Sunday school or whatever. And what happens is you allow other priorities to take place. And when you do that, you eventually find yourself in a spiritual burnout. Mm-hmm. And spiritual burnout sucks the life away from us. Basically, burnout, if I understand it correctly in a jet, is that you're going so fast and furious in a jet that it's not able to suck enough oxygen into the intake to burn the fuel that's there. And so it flames out. It burns out. Now, I may be wrong on that, but that's my basic understanding. And I know there's a lot more to that than that. But when you allow other things to begin to take place and you're burning that spiritual fuel, so to speak, but you're not taking in the breath of God, mm-hmm. then you begin to have burnout. And the tyranny of the urgent draws us away from the God who is a source of life to us. And so we eventually find ourselves basically going down a spiritual hellhole, mm-hmm. and wondering, what in the world happened to me? And so it's important for us to realize that recapturing that alone time with God is a prevention and a remedy both to spiritual burnout. Jesus is a great example of that. Mark chapter 1, verses 35 through 37, we see here where, if you read the first part of Mark chapter 1, he's had his temptation, he's began his ministry, he's healing people, he's going place to place, he's going here, he's going there. And he's healed Peter's mother-in-law. I mean, he's done all these things. And then in verse 35 it says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went looking for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, 'Everyone's looking for you.'" So Jesus has spent a lot of time ministering. Obviously, everybody's looking for him, as it says in verse 37. But Jesus' solution to that was to get alone and spend some time with his Father in prayer. So if Jesus needed to spend alone time with God, then I think it's important that we need to spend some alone time with him as well. We need to find a place to slip away. We need to find time to read our Bible and to pray. And we need to contemplate what our relationship with God is like. Now, I think I've said it on here before. When I first wake up in the morning, I have to wake up a little bit before I can do that. So I'll wake up and do some mundane things, flip through Facebook, flip through the newspaper, kind of get my mind to wake up. And people say, well, that doesn't that take you away? I said, well, it's better than falling asleep while I'm sitting there reading the Bible. Because I'm moving from one thing to the next. Now, that's not for everybody. Mm-hmm. Some people, they're wide awake. They're able to get up. And if you're able to do that first thing in the morning, I say, do it. But then I take and I spend some time in God's Word. And I take that time to refresh my mind and to just say, okay, Lord, this day is yours. Johnson Oatman was a preacher back in the 1800s, and he wrote a song, Alone with God. And if you've never sung that song or never heard it, go look it up sometime. Just type in Alone with God on the internet, song or hymn, Alone with God. But the chorus goes like this. Alone with God, the world forbidden. Alone with God, oh blessed retreat. Alone with God and in him hidden, to hold with him communion sweet. And you stop to think about that, and he's saying, I just spend time alone with God, and that time of communion with him is so sweet. So make sure that you take time to spend some alone time mm-hmm. with God. But we're also told that we need to spend time with other Christians. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, point that out to us. It says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. You know, we've got grandkids that are involved in athletics, and our two oldest, Asher and Maverick, are playing basketball right now. And so we're trying to be there when we can. Patty gets to go to more than I do because of some things, but we're there to watch them, which I was able to do last week. And so what we're doing there is being there for them for emotional support, you know. We're encouraging them, we're congratulating them, we're saying, good game, we're going, get the rebound, you know. even when they lose, we're still there supporting them. But it also involves other support. Getting them to games when mom and dad perhaps are to practices or whatever, when mom and dad are not able to do that, it means that we help if they're hurt, if we can, or we give them some tips. You know, I played basketball when I was in high school, and so, you know, we're there to support them. And basically, working together lightens the load for everyone. And as Christians, we should be doing the same thing. We should be working together to lift up one another. We don't know who wrote Hebrews. Some people say Paul, but whoever wrote Hebrews. Whoever wrote that says, spur one another towards love and good deeds. Well, how do you do that? Spend some time together. Mm-hmm. We ask the questions of how we can better minister to those in our congregation. We ask questions of how can we minister in our community and beyond. How can we make a difference out there? When we come together, we're able to celebrate life's victories. People being healed, we celebrate that. People getting married, we're able to celebrate that. Babies born, baptisms, people coming to Christ, birthdays, communion, Easter, Christmas. We celebrate all of those things in our lives when we come together. Mm-hmm. And it is an encouragement to us. But not only is there celebration, but there's also lifting one another up in hardships. The death of a loved one, you know. Sometimes when a person dies, you don't need to really say too much. Just being there is all that you need to do. Or maybe offering a word of support and maybe just saying, well, Jim just really meant so much to me in my life and had a great effect in my life. And, you know, but being there in the death of a loved one, walking alongside people in sorrow and in hardships, caring for those who are sick, when especially if they don't have family to take care of them, or maybe their family is busy and can't take them to a doctor's appointment or something like that, or helping meet unexpected financial needs. When Patty and I were first married, if it wouldn't have been for one of my mom and dad's neighbors giving us $100 every time he saw us, we'd probably starve to death. We'd go visit mom and dad, and he'd stop by in his little MG and says, before you guys leave, come by the house and visit with me and Merle. His name was Merle, so it was Merle and Merle. And so he'd say us, and every time we get up to leave, he'd shake her hand, and he'd have a $100 bill in it. Those type of people. Support those who are dealing with addictions, you know, and being there for them and encouraging them and walking behind them. And there's so many things out there that we need one another for. And when we share with others in victory or in hardship or in church, we're not only refreshing their spirits, but they're also refreshing our spirits. And so it's important for us to make sure that we are taking the time to walk with others and to encourage them and to lift them up. If we want to seclude ourselves, we're really robbing ourselves and others of the joy of being together. And that's one of the things that I think drives most pastors crazy is those who intentionally seclude themselves. We are called to be together. Now, I understand, you know, if you're sick, if you're housebound, things of that nature. But if one thing COVID did, it caused us to pull back from one another. And, yeah, there's still COVID going around. We've had people in the church recently that have COVID. We have a couple now that are out of town for a funeral, and she wound up with COVID. I mean, there are reasons for that, but we need to be together. And so it's so important that we do that. So those are a couple of things. Spend time with God, and then we need to spend time with one another. And I've got something else I'll share, but I think we might have some requests or some praises to go through. So
I do have a praise this morning. My Uncle Kevin had surgery on his shoulder a couple of days ago, and when the nerve block wore off early, so he was in excruciating pain because they didn't know it was going to wear off, you know.
Right.
But they got it under control yesterday, and he's comfortable now and on his road to recovery. We want to pray for Ricky Jenkins and Angela Jenkins and her family, because her aunt passed away Tuesday on her 90th birthday.
Oh, wow.
And we want to pray for Monica, and we also want to pray for her sister, Renee. I forgot to write her name down. And her family as well.
Okay. Father, we're just thankful that one of the things that we have the privilege is to come before you with the needs that we have, and that is even really a part of refreshing our spirit, is spending time in prayer with you, and just lifting up to you the things that are on our hearts, knowing that you love us, you care for us, and you take care of us, and that we can leave those with you, and then, Father, celebrating with you when the answers come. So, Father, we just are thankful that you were with Kevin through the surgery. We know the nerve block wore off early, but they were still able to get the pain under control. And so, Father, I'm just praying that as he recovers from this, as he has rehab from this, the pain will be manageable, that he'll have range of motion and everything that he needs to have as he moves forward through the recovery and moves forward in life. And just thank you for blessing him that his pain is now under control and that he's able to be doing, recovering as he should be. Father, we pray for Ricky and Angela Jenkins and their family as her aunt passed away. And Lord, I just pray that during this time when there's grief, there's sorrow because a person you love is no longer there with you, that you will walk alongside of this family, that you will bless them with your comfort and care, and you will bring in alongside of them individuals who are able to just say, we love you, we're here for you, we'll all walk along with you so that you don't have to walk alone. And Father, that's your way of walking with them as well, is by bringing people alongside of them. I pray that as they are planning on the service for her, that you will help them to just remember and to be able to celebrate her life and to look back and to realize the difference that she's made in their lives. And so, Father, I ask now that you will just walk with them through these days ahead and let them know that you are there with them and that you have not forgotten them, even in their sorrow. Pray for Monica and for her sister and her family, Renee, and we're asking that you would just be with them in whatever it is that they are going through, whatever struggles they might be facing, whatever difficulty may be coming their way. Lord, you're God who never leaves us or forsakes us. Sometimes it seems like you're far away, but Lord, even when it seems you're far away, you're still there beside us. You're walking with us. May not understand the things at the moment that we're going through, but you have said that you work all things together for good. So whatever it is that they may be facing, whatever struggles they might have, walk with them. And, Lord, help them to celebrate that as they move through that and celebrate your love and your goodness to them. And may you receive praise and glory out of that. Others that may have needs, Father, whatever it happens to be, you're the one who is able to take care of those things that happen in life. And you are there in everyday issues of life. So walk with them. And Lord, help us to celebrate as you walk with us. Celebrate even before we see the answer, because we know that the answer is coming. And Lord, we're going to give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.